Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, and on Friday, we think about what really matters on the What It Takes Radio Network.
The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Jenios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
Once again, we've seen a small group of people cause mayhem in the market. What does that tell you about the market's current environment, the current situation we're in? Well, it's another edition of What Really Matters, and we start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. This is your host, Peter McClellan. And once again, joined by Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. And Jeff is somebody, as many of you know, who's very attuned to what's going on with the market. And Jeff, the bottom line, what you're seeing right now, and I guess our header there is really referring back to what happened on Wednesday when about 1 o'clock Central Time, Janet Yellen was saying how they're not going to be quite as accommodating and maybe pulling that proverbial punch bowl away and no longer injecting money into the banks and maybe coming back out, unwinding, as you say. So what's your take on it, Jeff? You've got a feeling that investors are acting more like speculators right now than they are really investors. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, and you go back to it, and it wasn't even that Janet Yellen said it on Wednesday. It was the minutes from their meeting 2 or 3 weeks before that were released. And the minutes, if you've ever read them, they don't really get into many of the issues. It just summarizes them like minutes of any board meeting would do. And the thing that grabbed the market participants' eyes was that there was a long discussion about the appropriateness of unwinding the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. So for those of you that are just, you know, tuning in, it's basically talking about trying to figure out a way to start selling the things that they bought under quantitative easing 1, 2, and 3 that totaled up to about $4.1 trillion that the Fed is holding.
Wow.
To put that in perspective, before the financial crisis, the Fed's balance sheet was $100 billion. So this is something the Fed has never had to handle. The total is $1.7 trillion of mortgage-backed securities and $2.4 trillion of treasury bonds that the Federal Reserve has purchased over the last 8 or 9 years from the Wall Street banks.
Right.
What the Fed has been doing recently is, since QE3 ended about, what, I guess, year and 3 or 4 months ago, they've been reinvesting the interest that comes in to purchase more treasury bonds. So basically, they haven't been selling them. Well, now what they're talking about doing is just not reinvesting those dividends and letting the bonds mature as they come off. And then the market panicked. It lost over 1% from its high. CNBC reported it was the worst intraday sell-off from the high to the low in 14 months. And then you just go back to, you know, what, you know, I, you know, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how 26 people broke the market. And that was the Freedom Caucus fighting Donald Trump's healthcare agenda.
Right.
And now we have 12 members of the Federal Reserve that broke the market. It's insanity what's happening in the market right now, that one really minor news event can cause so many people to panic. It just tells me the market is not very stable right now, and it's not in good hands.
Wow. Not in good hands, meaning that it's in the hands of people who've maybe bought in late and are somewhat, maybe unrealistically hoping for some super gains that are about to materialize. Looking back at maybe some of the stock portfolios that did so well last year, but again, that's you can't rewind the clock. Just because something did well last year doesn't mean it's going to happen this year. So
that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, I think it is too. I see it with people. They go, "Oh, look, small caps were great last year," and they want to buy those now. And I'm like, "Well, they did come back Thursday pretty well, right? I mean, but still, they're very volatile at this point."
Yeah, they're barely up for the year. So it's exactly what we see, and you and I have seen it time and time again, where people look at what has done well recently and they think it's going to continue.
Yep.
So having feeling like they missed out, they jump into that thing. And then so what happens is because they weren't truly investing, they were just speculating.
Yeah.
When something goes wrong, they panic and they just look for the exits.
Yep.
And if you don't have enough investors in the market or in a sector or a stock,
yeah,
you have nobody ready to step in and buy more.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we saw happening. And I don't know how this is going to all end up. But like I said, it's before we were going on the air, the Fed has talked about doing this for 3 years, so it's not a surprise.
No,
the economy is doing relatively well.
Yeah,
You know, they're not. It's not like they're selling all $4.1 trillion. They're just not reinvesting the dividends.
Well, you've also talked about this for a long time too, and just that if and your charts and by the way, you got to look at Jeff's charts. You got to see them. I mean, they're some of them are ones he creates, some of the ones he borrows from other people. But it's semtradersblog.com, and you've been pointing out for a while, Jeff, from your own look at it and evaluation, that the market really is overvalued relative to the economy, relative to our GDP, other measurements of economic growth. But the economy's in good shape, but it's not, it still doesn't warrant where the stocks are at this point in terms of their valuations. That's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The market growth has been, you know, it's the third best bull market as far as gains go in the history of our country. And yet it's been the worst economic recovery in history. So at the end of everything, the value of a stock should be the value of its underlying economy. And it just, there's a huge disconnect. So either the economy is about to go into 5 or 6% growth, which I know if you're a Donald Trump supporter, you seem to believe that, or at least that's what the president keeps telling us. Mathematically, that's almost impossible, given our labor force and productivity.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other topic for another show. It just, you can't have the market exceeding the size of the economy for this long. It's why we've talked about it. It's actually called the Buffett indicator, and it's you take the market cap of the your stock market in your country, and you divide it by the economic growth, and it's when it's this high, your next 10 years tend to be lower returns because there's just no gains left to be made.
I'm not talking about recent months. The Buffett indicator, where would you say it's at this point?
It's about 1.2 times the economy right now, the market cap is.
And so what would be, if you were just purely looking at that, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but just saying what that's indicating would be what type of annualized return might we expect over the market over the coming 10 years from that indicator? Not that you're saying it.
Yeah. Yeah, based on history, it's about a negative 0.4% annualized growth rate over 10 years.
And I thought it was 3.5%, but it's gone way up then. Whoa, wow. Last I looked, we were looking at positive 3 maybe, not negative.
Yeah, and that's just it. We got very pathetic growth last year, and we had a 12% gain in the stock market. And so your potential returns, the more the market goes up, if it's not supported by true fundamental growth, they diminish greatly. And I'm not talking about returns over the next day, week, or month.
No,
the next year. I mean, we've seen in the 90s, and we saw it again, you know, really the last 3 years, an overvalued market can become even more overvalued. But what I'm getting at is if you are involved in the market, you either need to do one of two things. You need to have a very long-term time frame, and then do your best to not even look at how your investments are doing. Buy an index fund, and if you have the stomach for it and the discipline, don't even check them once a quarter. Check them once a year at the most, and just keep reinvesting. We found
most people don't have that type of stomach, if you would.
That's what I was just going to say. 90 to 95% of the people out there do not have the discipline to do that.
No.
Therefore, you need to find somebody that can do it for you. It's, you know, same thing as working on your car. If you're really good at it and you have the discipline to, you know, follow the instructions and the manual, great. Work on your car. Have at it.
Yeah.
Maybe you get enjoyment out of it. Maybe you save a lot of money doing it. But if you don't, get it into a mechanic who is trained to do that. And it's the same way with your investments.
Yeah, it is. It is, and it's sadly, I think, I not to get too negative in this, but I think the financial press has beaten it into their head, into investors' heads, that everything should be free or just about free, and the reality is, I think they've created a lot of foolishness out there that, you know, everybody knows the what the cost should be, but they don't know the value of anything. And that's a dangerous place to be, because I'm convinced the value of not having counsel, not have, like your analogy of the mechanic. I mean, I'm especially not going to try and fix the car. I can put gas in it, fill the windshield washer up, but I'm not going to even check the oil. But I'm not turning wrenches on the car. Not going to do that. But
and that's for the. I mean, if you're willing to pay somebody to work on your car, I mean, at a at most $40,000. I don't like to call it an investment, but in this analogy, a $40,000 investment,
yeah,
you'll pay somebody to take care of that. But if you have a $400,000 investment in an IRA, or that's your only money you have to live on in retirement,
right,
to try to do the cheapest thing possible is just, it's gambling. And that, we see this every bull market where
I know.
The more it goes up, the less people think that they should pay for anything, the more they think they could do it on their own.
Yep.
And like I said, there's some people that are great at it and have the discipline.
Absolutely.
And I encourage it.
Yeah.
But for those who don't, I just tell them, they gotta get some professional help, because when you get a panic like yesterday, I mean, our systems weren't panicking. They just said, oh, this is a non-event. But yet I know people out there that were selling.
Yeah.
And they don't know why it's going down. They don't know the idiocy of the market reacting the way it did. And people sell and you get sucked into it. And that's what we're trying to prevent with people, is just save them from having those emotional reactions so that they can stay invested at the right times and make enough money to retire on and not give it all up. Yeah. And then all of a sudden have a car that's worthless because you tinkered around with it too much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good counsel. And it's not for everybody. Like Jeff said, there are people out there that, really do have the minority, but there are people out there that do this on their own. They love it. They're looking at it all day, every day, and they do a great job and they're informed. Most people don't have that level of, first of all, the stomach for it. And nor do most people have the time or, frankly, even the interest. I mean, they'd like, everybody says, we want to make as much money as we can, but they don't want the risk associated with trying to swing for the fences. So if you haven't explored the value or the merits of active money management, I'd encourage you to go to Jeff's website. You can certainly look us up here if you're in the Minnesota area, the 401k Latte Company. But it is something that is going to take place. I had somebody tell me this the other day. They'd heard somebody talking about the J.P. Morgan guide, the guide to investing. At page 4, it shows this market that's gone up, 230%+ in 8 years. And the closing comment from the person at J.P. Morgan was, when we see this type of bubble, it normally ends pretty harshly, something along those lines. And I'm not predicting that. He's just saying it would be unusual that we'd see a gradual bear market from these types of heights, because as Jeff said, the market is unfortunately in the hands of a lot of people who have jumped in at the end and trying to capitalize on it, thinking that they're going to know when to get out. And I'm sure it was yesterday or Wednesday. Anyway, like we said, Jeff, at the 401k Latte Company, we have a tagline, and we think it applies to most people. And that tagline is,
invest in a conversation.
And do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.